Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's dive right in and welcome James Herbert from Brooklyn, who is at Barclays Center for the draft. Always get the New York flavor when it's in the Big Apple. What moments will you remember from this draft, James?
I don't know if I'll call it a best moment, but in terms of the New York one, the most memorable one was when Kevin Knox got selected by the Knicks. And it's in Brooklyn, but there's probably more Knicks fans there than Nets fans, and that's absolutely not who they wanted. Like, they were chanting Michael Porter's name when it was the Knicks' turn to pick. And again, when Knox was selected, it wasn't like only boos. It wasn't as bad as the Kristaps thing. But there were a significant amount of boos, and Knox heard it, and like, he was asked about it, and he talked about it, and he said, they can chant Michael Porter all they want. They got Kevin Knox, and I'm willing to work hard, and I'm going to do what I have to do. And I thought he handled the situation pretty well. He claimed he would be able to handle New York media because he's coming from Kentucky. I'm not sure if it's the exact same thing, but he got a little introduction as to what it's like playing in a major market tonight. And, you know, I'm not sure I agree with Knicks fans. Like, I don't mind the Knox pick, but they wanted the guy who was perceived to be falling, which was Michael Porter Jr., who was another major storyline. Like, everybody kept thinking he was going to go, and he fell to number 14.
Yeah, what did he have to say about the doubts that people had and the fact that he was still there for the Nuggets to choose at 14?
Yeah, I mean, he's been talking about the doubts not just tonight, but all week and even before that in his interviews. I mean, he knows what the teams are looking at in terms of his health. He's said he believes he's the best player in this draft. And, like, honestly, like, he talked about it being a roller coaster with the process having its ups and downs, and maybe it wasn't supposed to go that way with him being a high pick. I think he's trying to put the positive spin on it that every draft pick tries to put on, right? Like, this is a special moment. It's only going to happen once in their lives. I think for MPJ, he certainly never envisioned being right at the end of the lottery. He was one of the top ranked kids in high school, a really high potential player, extremely talented player. But with how poorly he played in the three games that he played in college, and with all the concerns about injuries, like, this kind of thing can happen. Mm-hmm. I think, I understand the concerns with his game. I understand the concerns for his injuries. I wasn't super high on him when he was being talked about as a guy that the Kings might be maybe picking at number two. But at 14, I love it. I think that's a sort of swing that you have to take if you're Denver.
James Herbert covers the NBA and was at the NBA draft for CBS Sports with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So that was one big story. We also had the swap of the 3 pick and the 5 pick, which ended up being Trae Young at number 5 going from Dallas to the Hawks, and then Luka Doncic, who I think is going to be a lot of fun in the NBA, at least. I can't wait to see how he does with the Dallas Mavericks. But I'm wondering about some fits that you think either worked or didn't work in that first round, picks that were made by teams.
You know, the Hawks were really interesting in terms of fit, because I think the Trae Young selection means Dennis Schroeder is all but officially gone right now. I don't think he's part of their future at all as their point guard. And then, you know, say what you want about how they valued him. I think a lot of people were surprised that they were willing to pass on a talent like Doncic's at that pick in the draft. I had Doncic honestly number one on my board. I thought he was the best player in the draft. But it was a bold move by Travis Schlenk in Atlanta. And what I like about the fit is that he fits well with the guy they drafted at number 19 and Kevin Huerter. Like, Travis Schlenk came from the Warriors, is now sort of trying to build his own, like, mini version of the Warriors, I think, in Atlanta. Trey obviously gets the Steph Curry comparisons. I think that's a little unfair, but you understand it. Mm-hmm. And then Herter's been drawing all these comparisons to Klay Thompson. And while he is not Klay Thompson, not that type of defender, he's an incredible shooter. And there are worse ways to build a team, I think, than having two dead-eye shooters in the backcourt, and Atlanta walks away tonight with that really nice backcourt fit, in my opinion.
How would you evaluate what the Phoenix Suns did? They got DeAndre Ayton at the top and then make a trade, and they switch, and they end up with Mikal Bridges.
It's interesting. I think the Bridges trade will ultimately be defined by what happens with that unprotected 2021 pick that they sent Philadelphia's way, and then how Zaire Smith develops, because he's really sort of a boom or bust project. But Bridges, I love. Like, I thought he should have been, like, to me, he was higher on my board than even 10. I thought if Philadelphia would have kept him, that would have been just a solid, nice pick for them. But they end up doing a sort of bolder move with that trade. But I think Bridges will fit just fine. He's the kind of guy that can play in almost any system. He can guard multiple positions. He has a really beautiful shot. He's developed a lot over the past few years, and I don't buy into the fact that just because he's 22 that he just is who he is. I think he can add more sort of playmaking to his game over the next few years, and I think even if right now he's strictly a 3-and-D player, I think he will make the game easier for a guy like Devin Booker, for a guy like DeAndre Ayton. Josh Jackson isn't that much of a shooter. You need shooters in that lineup, and Bridges certainly is that. As for Ayton, like I said, he wasn't number one on my board. Doncic was, but I mean, the potential there is undeniable. And if he is eventually a plus defensive player in the NBA, then they could be talking about a superstar.
What's a pick that made you scratch your head a little bit?
Probably Colin Sexton to the Cavs. If they are hoping that LeBron stays, if they haven't given up on that, then I just don't really see the fit at all. If he does not have the ball in his hands, he's really not helping you. I think he needs to be the guy that is running a ton of pick and rolls to be effective. The shot isn't there to be a great off the ball player. If the report about them keeping Kevin Love, regardless of what happens to LeBron, is accurate and he's running pick and pops with Kevin Love all day, maybe he'll prove me wrong and he'll be great. I'm just not sure that I liked him better than a guy like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at that spot if they were drafting a point guard. And I'm not sure that they had to go for a point guard there. I thought Bridges, either one of the two Bridges, could have been a nice pick there. I'm always sort of loath to go and completely kill a team on draft night.
Sure.
Just because these things really won't be judged for a few years down the line. But yeah, I didn't love the Sexton pick.
Mm. James Herbert from the NBA Draft with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Couple of names that people will know, whether it's because of their famous family members or just because of what they did on the NCAA stage. I was intrigued by the Lakers choosing Mo Wagner. We really enjoyed seeing him play for Michigan in March Madness. But it's such an uncertainty around the Lakers because of the fact that they're chasing some free agents. And we don't actually know how many of these young guys from this core are still going to be around. How much is that a conversation? And even on the Spurs side, when you think about the uncertainty in free agency, even as they're drafting?
Yeah, I think that absolutely has to play into it. I think even the Mavs, like in Dallas, they were getting questions about why they didn't take a center, and Rick Carlisle had to tell reporters, like, don't worry about that. We'll address that in free agency. I think specifically with the Lakers, it's interesting because normally you look at like a number 24 in the pick of the draft and you think this isn't going to make or break it. This guy probably won't be in the rotation right away. But this is the situation where Wagner might actually have to be in the rotation just because of how few people they have under contract and how they might still have to move multiple pieces if they want to make a trade for a superstar. All of a sudden, it becomes important that you hit on those late picks. They are not a super team yet. They hope to be, but I think even in striving to be a super team, they take on some of the same sort of issues that super teams have. Like the Warriors are in a similar position where they just don't have that many avenues to improve and to add to their roster because they're so capped out.
Right.
So you end up looking at their picks and you're like, oh, that's, they actually need somebody who's going to play. And I think Wagner will be asked to play. The nice thing is that I think he is ready to come in and play real NBA minutes right away. I think he is a guy that can come in and immediately do that. The question that I have is if that holds up, if they end up being this great team, because if you're asking him to play in a playoff environment. He's sort of a slow-footed guy. I'm not sure that he's switching on to small players and surviving. I think that becomes tougher for a guy like Wagner. Mm.
How much fun was it to see the whole Holiday gang there donning Pacers hats?
It was really fun. I mean, they were having fun just in sort of the family area in the green room before.
Yeah.
A lot of people were giving them a lot of attention. And I happened to see them sort of posing, not just the three brothers, but the whole family were out there posing for photos and stuff for the NBA social media. They had like a bunch of different spots on the sort of circuit that draft picks go through after their name is selected, and they were all soaking it in.
So cool. James Herbert covering the draft and the NBA for CBS Sports with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I got to ask, from inside the arena then, was there maybe one pick that nobody cheered for because they didn't know, or one pick that maybe didn't have any fans represented there, so it was really quiet?
I actually have to confess, I spent so much time later in the lottery backstage chasing around Mikal Bridges that I didn't honestly not hear a pick like that. I was there out there for most of the ones at the beginning, and there were like pretty decent reactions for most of those. I will say Luka Doncic and Trae Young probably had the biggest reactions for any players outside of the New York teams, and it was funny that those ended up being the players that were traded for each other.
What about Grayson Allen? Because he's a bit controversial among Hoops fans.
I missed that. I was in the back, if there were boos, that would not surprise me. But I'll tell you what, though, I actually like that pick a lot for Utah. It's a situation where he doesn't have to sort of be in the spotlight at all. Like, he can just sort of be a secondary playmaker in that Quinn Snyder system, and I think he will fit in quite well right away.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that. Him, Donovan Mitchell, now Ricky Rubio, resurgent, Rudy Gobert, obviously. I think that's a team on the rise. All right, you can follow James on Twitter at OutsideTheNBA. He covers the league for CBS Sports, so from the draft on to free agency. James, I know it's been a busy night. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.